Faith and trust, that's what that hymn was about. Wonderful. William Cooper was a man given to great doubts and fears. He had many, many mental and soul troubles that he had a hard time coming out of. What a song. What a hymn. Psalm 34. I asked the Lord for a message from His Word of comfort for you. And He gave a message of comfort for me. I know it will be for you. We always are comforted by the Psalms. I'm always in the Psalms. I'm sure you probably are too. Always. You can always turn to the Psalms and get comfort, something you need. This particular psalm is a comfort for saints, for believers who are prone to being afraid, like David was in this story, prone to sin, foolishness, believers who often get in a bad way. If you look at the title up there underneath psalm number, it says a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. This was the story of David when he went to Gath and lived there a while. He went there out of fear of Saul. He ran from Saul. He was afraid of King Saul. We're in Psalm 34. But he was afraid of King Saul. So he ran, of all places, to Gath. That's where the Philistines were. Unbelievers, heathen. He went in amongst them. I don't know why he did that, except maybe that the Lord would teach us something. And he got in a bad way. I mean, he got in a bad way. He acted in a way that brought great reproach on his Lord. He acted like he had lost his mind. And then while he was there, he became, Scripture says, sore afraid of the king of Gath. So David at this time was full of fear. And the Scripture says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. If you're afraid of man or mankind, have any fears of men and mankind or what the world may do to you, it brings a snare. It's a hard fear to get out of. It'll make you full of fears and doubts and unbelief, and it's a trap you can't get out of. And you may look and act like an unbeliever. Fear of man will make you look and act and sound like you don't believe anything God said. And that's the way David acted it. Now, David was only 33 years old at this time, which explains some of his fears. It doesn't excuse it, but it explains it. An older man ought to have less fears like that, ought to know better. Although, my. Later on, David said, "Remember not the sins of my youth." That's what he prayed. "Lord, forgive me for all of my youthful lusts and foolishness." But I'm glad God wrote about David's fears and David's sins. It's a measure of comfort for me. Is it you? It's a measure of comfort for me and God's mercy and God's long-suffering. It's not meant to encourage us to stay in the same sin, to commit the same sins. It's not meant to encourage us. It's meant to warn us and keep us from it. We don't have to do what David did. But it does comfort us. Now, at this time, and we're going to get into it just a minute, but I'm telling you what made David write this. At this time, there's no mention, and I went back and read the whole story of David in 1 Samuel 21 and preceding chapter. There's no mention of David calling on the Lord at all. And he's just fearful. He's running. He's lying. He starts lying. Until he ends up in a bad place and in a bad way among heathen people. Until he became just like them. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved David, like Daniel, he was greatly beloved. And how we know is the Lord quickened him. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, even when he was in Gath, even when he was acting like a madman, like a fool, like a heathen, like he didn't believe God at all. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us. This is how you know God loves you, if he quickens you, if he doesn't leave you there. He quickened you. And we need quickening constantly, don't we? We need quickening daily. Quickening means bring us back from the dead. Get out in the world like David and we feel dead, don't we, spiritually? Be like a heathen. Be like an unbeliever. Act like it too sometimes. But then God quickens us. How? By his word. And David said, deliver me from all my fears and forgave me all my sins. What mercy. And that's when David went to the cave. You remember that story in 1 Samuel 22? Right after that, he went down into that cave. And that's where those men, all the men came to him. Those that were in death and discontent and distress came to him. And he became their captain. What a story that is. Well, he wrote this psalm while he was in that cave. And you know that when David was delivered from Saul or from the king of Gath and he went running and he had acted like a fool and he brought reproach on his God and reproach on the faith and there were men with him. What do you think they were thinking about David? He brought reproach on those men and his God and he was ashamed. He was full of fear. He was full of guilt. He was embarrassed. And he got down in that cave. You know what he started doing when the Lord delivered him. He started praying. He started calling on the Lord. And that's when he said, he heard me. He heard me. And so in this cave, he's full of, he came here full of fear, full of guilt, shame. And then while he's in this cave, with his eyes full of tears, he ends up full of gratitude and relief. That's why he wrote this song. So he says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's a good resolve. I told Mindy, I said, these resolutions that we make, you know, some of them, they're good. We can't keep them, but they're good. I told her a resolve that we need to have, and it was a good one, and I might not keep it, but it's still good. Daniel purposed in his heart, didn't he? That he wouldn't defile himself with the king's dainty. That's a good resolve. One time he said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look on. David said the same thing. Why should I behold vanity? Well, that's a good resolve. David said, I'm going to bless the Lord from now on. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise, verse 1, shall continually be in my mouth. I think many of our troubles start with our murmuring and complaining, don't they? David perhaps was murmuring and complaining about his lot and that's when the bitterness and the Lord, you know, you do that. You remember what happened to the children of Israel? They started murmuring and complaining. The Lord, you know, left them to themselves. And they got themselves in a bad way. Well, David, I believe, did too. But he said, oh, I need to bless the Lord at all times. His praise needs to be continually in my mouth, no matter what happens. I need to bless the Lord. I need to quit murmuring and start singing. Start blessing. And not just with my mouth, verse 2, but with my soul. My soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Was David boasting? When he was in Gath, some of the men said, "Is not this David whom they said had slain his 10,000s? Maybe David had been thinking about his own greatness or something. Boy, that's a sure way for the Lord to bring you down. And maybe he had gotten puffed up a little bit with pride, and then he began to be afraid of everybody. David. I'm so glad that happened, though. David, you see, I can't much relate to David's great conquest, can you? I can't much relate to David's great courage like he had against Goliath, can you? Against the whole army of the Philistine. I can't much relate to that. But I can sure relate to his falls. I can sure relate to his failures and his cowardice. I'm not glad for his sake, but I'm glad for my sake if they happen. And it's for the glory of God is what it's for. It's David's shame, but God's glory. And he said, "My soul will make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad." That's what I'm saying. I heard about that. I read about this, and I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord wrote this. So David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." Anybody guilty like David of acting like a fool? Anybody guilty of being full of fears and fears, needless fears? Anybody? My pastor, you remember this article by my pastor, "Too Many and Too Much"? We have entirely too many fears for a people to whom the Lord has said, "Fear thou not." He said that more than anything. "Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I'll strengthen you, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my right hand." We have far too many fears. We have far too many doubts and fears concerning God's mercy, love, and grace. "For a people to whom the Lord has said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." We spend entirely too much time grumbling and complaining about our trials and troubles. "For a people to whom the Lord has said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We have entirely too much attachment to this world and this present life for a people who are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We have far too much anxiety, care, and fear, far too much concern for earthly material things for a people to whom the Lord has said, "Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." Too many and too much. Too many fears. Too much complaining. Too many attachments. Oh, and David was in a cave here. Didn't have much, but he had forgiveness of sins. And he had peace, finally. Let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, he says, "I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me after a while of not seeking the Lord." I told you that I couldn't find where David at that time was calling on the Lord like Jacob. You remember, we looked at Jacob's story. And Jacob got down there in Paddan Aram and lived there a long time. And there was no mention of him calling on the Lord. When he was out there alone and with nothing, his head on the pillow, and he wrestling with the Lord, he calling on the Lord. But when he got rich and all his children and grandchildren and living in a pagan land, and there's no mention of him. And he got in a mess. His family was in a mess. And David at this time was not calling on the Lord, but he said, I got down in a cave. I had to get real low. The Lord had to show me what I'm capable of. And then I started calling on the Lord. I sought the Lord, finally, and He heard me. He heard me. He heard me. One of the ladies asked me Sunday, she said, "You think the Lord will save somebody that doesn't call on Him? Think the Lord will save somebody that's not calling on the Lord?" You know, the Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, that's taken from Joel 2, verse 32. Romans 10:13 says that, but that's taken from Joel 2:32, which says, those that call, there are as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I began to think about that question, because what she was doing is hoping for someone who's not, evidently not seeking the Lord. She's hoping for God's mercy upon somebody that's obviously not calling on the Lord right now. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, the Lord saves every one of us before we call on Him. And the only reason you're called is because He called you. You don't start calling till He calls you. That's how you know that the Lord's saving somebody. He said this, I'm sought of them that ask not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. So, yeah, there's hope for somebody that's not calling. It's our hope of His calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one hope of His calling. They held out no hope for me. My parents are, humanly speaking, held out no hope for me, this prodigal son. But our hope is in His calling, that the Lord will be pleased to call our lost loved ones. And He did. He called me. He heard me. And I'm here to tell you, if He heard me, He'll hear anybody. That's what David said. I got so bad. I brought so much reproach on the Lord. And he should have shut the windows of heaven from then on. He should have shut his ear, never heard from me, never listened to me again. But I sought Him again, and He heard me. He heard me and delivered me. Verse 4, He delivered me from all my fears. No, temporarily. Temporarily, right? At this time. As I said before, you know, you come in here and you come in here full of doubts and fears and unbelief and worry and no faith. Feel like you don't have any faith. Well, you hear the Word, hopefully. You hear the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. You go out of here with full assurance and understanding and faith, and you feel like Daniel, and boy, no sooner hit the door. And all those doubts start coming back. So we for a while we're delivered, aren't we? That's why we come here. To escape. Verse 5 says, they looked unto Him, those that heard about me. Those that heard about me, the sad shape I got in. They looked too, and they were lightened. That their burdens were removed. Their faces were not ashamed. You know, you certainly apply this to Christ, couldn't you? You look unto Him, your burden will be removed. And you don't need to be ashamed. And down in, it says in verse 4, He said, He heard me. David got real low. And I thought about several others that got low and read their stories. But let me just read this to you if I can find it. I wish I had marked it. There it is. Jonah. You know, David got real low, didn't he? Jonah was rebellious. Jonah prayed out of the belly of the whale. He said, I'm cast out of His sight. But I'll look again toward Thy holy temple. That's Christ. He said, but the waters compassed me about. David wrote about that in Psalm 38. Even to the soul, the depths closed me round about. David said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Depths of sin, the depth of despair, the depth of fear. He said, the weeds were wrapped around my head. That's a man that, boy, he's in trouble. I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars held me. But Thou hast brought up my life from corruption. My soul fainted within me, but I remembered the Lord. Why, John? Why do you remember the Lord? Because He remembered you. And my prayer came into His unto Thee, into His holy temple. Oh, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah was running. Now, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay. That's what David just said to him. I'll pay my vows that I've vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake to that fish and purged old Jonah. Purged old Jonah. David said, He brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet on a rock. So everybody that reads this, hopefully, is hoping for the same mercy. You look too, and you'll be lightened. Your burden will be removed. Your fears. You won't be ashamed. Verse 5, I like that. Their faces are not ashamed. Like a guilty child, you know, holds his head down before his father he sinned against. And the father in love and in mercy says, look at me. Look at me. And you look up into his face and he says, I love you. And I forgive you. Now don't do it again. Go and sin no more. Take comfort, you saints. Fear not, you saints. Fresh courage take. Verse 6. This poor man cried. And I think David is saying this poor excuse for a man. One time he said, I'm a worm and no man. I'm no man. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Out of all his troubles. Call on the Lord, He'll save you. The angel of the Lord, verse 7. Now he's going to talk about the Lord's deliverance of His people and His preservation. Preservation. I was going to say perseverance. His preservation of the saints that don't persevere. This is a song, you know, and David, I can hear him singing this on his harp. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord, the Spirit of God is that angel. Christ is that angel. The angel of God's mercy encampeth. Not just that come pays you a visit, abides there. All around you, campeth around you. How can one angel surround you? Well, that's because in Him you live and move and have your being. He's the God in whose hands your breath is. You're in His hand. That's, Scripture says, no man shall pluck them. That's being surrounded in it. And campeth round about. Hedges you about. The men always pray for me in the study this prayer. Lord, hedge him about. I love that. Surround me, Lord. Protect me from all these things that would hinder me and hurt us. Lord, the angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Now, David's going to talk much about the fear of the Lord. He says, don't fear. He said, I feared man when I shouldn't have and didn't fear the Lord when I should have. And that's what our Lord said. I quoted it to you. Don't fear their fear. Fear me. The Lord's true people fear the Lord. And this is what distinguishes them from the world. Yet, we don't fear Him like we should. But this is why the Scripture says so much about it. That we need to learn the fear of the Lord. Unite our hearts to fear Thy name, David said. Oh, saints, fear the Lord. That's the encouragement here. That's the exhortation. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. There's no want to them that fear Him. Now, the world doesn't understand this. I think you do, but we need to understand it more. The fear of the Lord, the fear of His name, the fear of His person is not a slavish fear, like a slave before a cruel taskmaster that's going to crush him under his feet if he does anything wrong. That's not the fear he's talking about. But it's a true understanding of His holy person, His mighty power, and His majesty that will make you fear to use His name except in reverence. It'll make you fear to refer to Him in any way except in worship and reverence. It'll make you fear to speak of Him, to approach Him, or worship Him except from the heart in absolute sincerity and worship and adoration and thanksgiving and praise. Not like an equal. Not like a man. And that's what Brother Mack and I were talking about this. Psalm 36. Look over there. Psalm 36, verse 1 says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before His eyes." And that means not just the openly immoral and wicked, but religious wickedness that our Lord spoke so much about. And the way they refer to our Lord says very clearly that they don't fear Him. And this is how you can tell. They said the Jews of old were afraid to use God's name at all. Jehovah. They're very careful to use it. What does that say about our generation today? Anybody that can use His name flippantly and carelessly and irreverently, joke about it, they don't know God. And religion does what they do in God's name, and yet it's not for His glory and His honor. That's an abomination to God. Their methods reveal there's no fear of God. They reduce God to a beggar. They reduce salvation to a bargain. Reduce the Lord Jesus Christ, who's sitting on the throne, to standing outside everybody's heart's door. There's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no truth in that at all. That's plain, isn't it? And David says to God's people, "Oh, fear the Lord," he says. If you do, you need not fear anything or anyone else. Fear the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom and the perfection of wisdom. It's saving wisdom. David says much about that. Look, read on. Verse 8 and 9. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. There's no want to them that fear Him." Now, how can you trust the Lord and fear Him both? Is the Lord both good and to be feared? Yes. And, you know, really, it's not something you can explain. You know, if God is not feared, He's not to be trusted. Let me see if I can make this clear to you. If He's not feared, He's not to be trusted. Meaning, if He's not sovereign, you can't trust Him with anything. If He's not sovereign. And because He's sovereign, that means you fear Him. Cannot I do with my own what I will? And it might be traumatic. Good, it's going to be good. It might be real tough. But if He's not sovereign, you can't trust Him. He's not in charge of anything. Why trust Him? You understand what I'm trying to say? Why trust Him? If He's just a bystander, and He's just like us, He can't do anything. Why fear Him? If He's not immutable, you can't trust Him. He says one thing one day, He might change His mind the next. You can't trust Him. But if He's unchangeable, you fear Him. He doesn't change. His justice is the same. And He said, "I will by no means clear the guilty." And I got to hurry, but His justice is both fearsome and yet wonderful. And some of you know what I'm talking about. That if He punished, He said, "I will by no means clear the guilty." Well, if Christ was made sin for us, His justice has been served. And He will not exact that justice on anybody that trusts Christ. It will not. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Why? Because God's justice has been poured out. Religion said He died for everybody. put this people in hell whom he died for, then you can't trust him. And people don't fear him, sin against him. They don't fear any consequences. Right? They don't fear any consequence. The God of judgment. You understand what I'm saying? Oh yeah, God's good. He's good to them that fear him. He's good to them that trust him. Blessed is the man that trusts in him and fear. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. There's no want to them that fear him. Read on. Verses 10, and he uses a young lion as an example. A young lion. There's nothing more full of itself. You ever watch these shows of young lions? You know, they grow up and they're becoming the king of the jungle. And boy, they think they are, don't they? And boy, they're running around and frolicking and just after everything. And they think they can take the world on. Well, that's man. That's a young man, or woman for that matter. So what he's saying here is that the strongest, the most seemingly independent, those who have the most strength, they think they're going to lack. They're going to be brought to nothing. But the weakest, they that seek the Lord, and that's God's people, they know they don't have any strength at all. That they're totally dependent on the Lord. The meek, the humble, the lowly, they know they're totally dependent on the Lord. They'll not want anything. They're not providing anything for themselves. Don't need to. Listen to Hannah's prayer. I just read this, 1 Samuel 2. I just read this, Hannah's prayer. This is wonderful. She said, "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken. They that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, but the hungry, they cease from being hungry. The barren hath borne seven. She that hath many children waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He brings down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and He maketh rich. He bringeth low and He lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill." All the young and the proud may think there's something, but they're going to be brought to nothing. But the meek and the lowly and those that fear the Lord, they'll not ever want any good. And that word "thing" is in italics. Any good. "Come, you children." Now he's going to teach us a little bit about the fear of the Lord. "Come, you children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord." Here's what it means, the fear of the Lord. "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days?" What he's saying here, I believe, is you want to see life more abundant? It doesn't consist in things. It has something to do with the fear of the Lord and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's life. Life more abundant. No thing can give you any peace or joy or blessedness, comfort. "What man is he that desireth life," life more abundant, "and loveth many days?" We may have several more days on this earth. You want to see some good days? I do. Verse 13, "Now keep," all right then, "keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." No, is that familiar? Isn't that what we've been studying in James? Remember the proverb, "He that keepeth his mouth," he that his tongue, "keepeth his soul from many troubles." I want to learn that. I need to learn that. Put a watch over my lips. "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." That's where it starts. Murmuring, complaining against God, talking about other people. And God, He'll make you eat your words. If you like crow, go ahead and say it. But you'll be eating it. I think maybe that's what Ecclesiastes 5 means. Keep your foot. You go in the house of God, keep your foot. God's in heaven. No, that is, keep your foot out of your mouth. God's in heaven, you're on the earth, let your words be few. That's what Hannah said. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Read on, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. Now, this thing of talking too much. Ask Simon Peter what the Lord did to him, that braggart. He started bragging, didn't he? Oh, my. He wished he'd never said a thing. Ask Martha, who started complaining about serving too much. Ooh. She wished she'd never said a thing. Job, he was okay till he started talking. He got lifted up with self-righteousness. Verse 14, depart from evil. What evil? Any evil. All evil. Evil thoughts, evil speech, evil actions. And you and I know what when we're thinking evil thoughts, don't we? We know that. Nobody has to tell us that. We know when we're speaking evil, don't we? And what does he say? Stop. Just stop. Look, get out of that mindset. And if you can't, here's the way to do it. Call on the Lord. Lord, please, deliver me from this. Depart. Depart. Read on. Seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. Our Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers. The Lord knows. It matters. There's conflict. There's offenses between brothers. The Lord knows. And in many things, we all offend. We're all going to offend each other somehow, some way. And the Lord knows that. He knows our frame. We ought to be more compassionate with one another, shouldn't we? We ought to consider one another's frame, knowing that they're just like me. Why wouldn't I forgive? Why wouldn't I understand? But in matters of offense and so forth, the Lord says, seek peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, not takers, not waiting on somebody. Well, if he'll apologize to me, I'll accept it. And the Lord says, you're never going to get peace from me. You're never going to get peace from me. Didn't Christ come down here to make peace with a people that didn't want it? Huh? Didn't he come down and make us, reconcile us to God? Reconcile means to thoroughly change. Reconcile means to be sorry for everything. Reconcile means to say, I'm all wrong. Everything about me is wrong. I need to change. And Christ came down here to do it for us. Reconcile us to God. We weren't willing. That's a peacemaker, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers. God knows. He's listening. He's watching. This is the fear of the Lord. You understand? This is the fear of the Lord. You got two brothers and they're at odds with one another. Blessed is the peacemaker. Brother, let's not do it. Abraham and Lot. Oh, he said, Brother Lot, let's not have this. Let's not have this. We're brethren. Who did the Lord bless? And who almost died in Sodom? Blessed are the peacemakers. Go after. He says, pursue it. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. One time he said, provoke one another to love. They just don't like me. I don't know why. Well, then make them like me. That's what the Lord says. Pursue it. The eyes of the Lord. This is the fear of the Lord. Didn't he say, I'm teaching you the fear of the Lord? Well, she won't speak to me. He won't speak to me. You keep speaking to her. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You hear that? He's telling us about the fear of the Lord. And his ears are open unto their cry. And we saw in 1 John 3, that he that doeth righteousness, this new man created in the image of Christ, is righteous. As He is, so are we. And the image of Christ bears the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness. If not, you know He is. That's sad. That's fear. That ought to make us fear, shouldn't it? Ought to make us fear, not forgiving. I'm ready. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Now, you know, we can certainly apply this to Christ, the righteous, but in context here. He's telling us, He said, I'm teaching you the fear of the Lord. David, when he finally found out, and he really was convicted of his sin, here's what he said. Against thee, and thee only, have I done this evil in thy sight. Now that's the fear of the Lord. He wasn't thinking about that when it happened, that God was watching him. Now, you know, David's not trying to create where you're afraid for your salvation. But he's telling us what true fear is. It's like a child with his parent. It's a love, isn't it? And so the eyes of the Lord, His ears are open unto their cry. Well, you know, we've already seen His ears are open unto the cry of a sinner. The face of the Lord, verse 16, is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them. You see that? He's talking about them. The Lord heareth and delivereth them. And let me remind you why we are considered righteous by God. Not by our works. Not by what we do. Before or after salvation. Right? We're righteous in Christ. He's our righteousness. This new creature created in Christ Jesus. And so we're righteous in Him. Now the Lord is nigh unto them, verse 18, there of a broken heart. He said, the Lord hears sinners, well, only repentant sinners. Right? Broken-hearted sinners. But buddy, the first sign of a broken heart, His ears are open. The Lord is nigh unto them, very near unto them that are of a broken heart. Whatever broken heart that may be of His people, over sorrow, over sin, over worries, over fears, over distress, and debt, and whatever it may be. He's near. If you call on Him, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. And He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Contrite, broken spirit. Not proud. The Lord's against them. He's teaching us the fear of the Lord. Better to be with the humble, the proverb says, than with the proud. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, this is Christ and His people. Many are the afflictions of our Lord, and our Lord said, many will be your afflictions, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He delivered Christ in that He feared, and He was heard, and He delivers His people that fear. He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken. Don't you love that? Even a little toe. If you're in Him, you're complete. You're perfect. You're righteous. You're kept by the power of God. And like David, though, you say, I may see all my bones. I'm down to nothing. I'm so lean, but not one of them is separated. Not one is broken, not even a little toe. Evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate, but guilty. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants. And none of them, not one of them, that trust in Him shall be desolate. Don't you love that? So he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." Then he says, "Oh, fear. Oh, fear the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, taste and see that He's good. Oh, fear the Lord." These saints. There is full, free forgiveness for the most sinful, no matter how deep in a pit they get. There's salvation. There's safety for the most fearful, for the most worried. And none of them that trust in Him shall be left behind when the Lord comes. Not one. Not a hoof nor hair left behind. Desolate. That's what that meant. Now, I'm not... Forget it. You're not coming with that. David says, "He heard me." Okay. Stand up. Our Lord, thank You for the sure mercies of David, which is the Lord Himself, who does not change. And Lord, though You're to be feared, You're to be trusted. Teach us to fear the Lord, and teach us to trust Thee. Remove all our anxious fears, our doubts, our worries, our anxiety, our distress, O Lord. Cause us to believe. Cause us to trust You, have confidence in You, to look to You and be saved from our fears. Call upon You in time of trouble. Let us be like David. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in the Lord. Oh Lord, we have far too many. We confess like Daniel of old. We have far too many fears. We're a sinful people. Confusion of faces belong to us. Oh, but mercies and forgiveness belong unto Thee. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Bring up the one who's in the pit, out of the pit. Set his or her feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. Deliver us from going down into the pit, O Lord, by causing us to fear You, not man, and trust in Thee. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, Your loving kindness, Your forbearance, Your forgiveness of our sin, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.